Welcome back to another episode of Dentistry's Growing with Grace podcast. Join Grace and her guest of the week as they discuss lessons learned in the industry and explore unique insights into ethical growth.
Hello, and welcome back to Dentistry's Growing with Grace. Thank you so much for being with me today and my great friend, Jerry Gottlieb of GG Dental Consulting.
GG Practice Coaching.
Practice. See, and I even helped name it, and here I am, GG Practice Coaching. So Jerry, I am so just blessed and honored to have you here today. The transformation I've seen you make with so many dentists is incredible. And with people who already feel like they have it together and have it all, to for them to realize that there is a next level for them.
Yeah.
And not always just a financial next level, but sometimes it's, and most of the time it's actually they discover more than a financial elevation in their practice. They discover a much higher quality of life, connection, and purpose. Yep. So Jerry, talk to me and our amazing audience about how you came to be where you are today. What was your journey like, and what has brought you to where you are today?
Wow, Grace. Thank you for having me. By the way, I'm happy, so happy to be on with you and do anything with Grace anytime. That's a big question. And I'll try to do it as quickly as I can so I don't take all of our time just talking about the journey. However, I started into dentistry. I was launched into dentistry. This is my 30th year in dentistry, believe it or not. I was in college pursuing a degree in psychology, behavioral psychology, and music as a music minor, and working full-time managing a Clinique cosmetic counter for Macy's, which wasn't Macy's at the time. I lived in Seattle. It was actually called the Bon Marché. And I was helping a gentleman one day with skincare and just talking, like, whatever, just having conversation. And he said, "I want you to come work for me." And I was like, "Well, what do you do?" Right? He has some strange guy who says they want you to come work for him. And he said, "Well, I'm a dentist. I'm actually an orthodontist. And I just opened a practice. And I want you to come work for me." And I said, zero. Zero had I ever thought about dentistry. Zero had I had teeth. I went to the dentist. That's what I knew about dentistry. And long story short, I finally agreed to at least come kick the tires. He said, "Just come check it out. See if you'd even like it, you know." But what I saw at the time was really a way to get out of retail. I'd been working retail since I could work, which was, back in the day, Grace, was like 14 and a half or something crazy, right? And I thought, wow, yay, I could be out of retail, work 4 days a week, get paid. He was supportive of me continuing my college process. And I thought, well, what could be better? I was newly married at the time as well. But here's what I didn't expect. So I kicked the tires. I accepted the position. I started off as an assistant. And what I didn't expect was that I would fall in love.
Been there.
Yeah, right?
Yep.
I fell in love with dentistry. I fell in love with that interaction with the patients. I fell in love with having a team. I was a dancer growing up through high school. Like I didn't play team sports or things like that where I got to like work collectively as a team, but my heart's desire, my whole being is to be collaborative. And so I always longed to have this, you know, a team where you could accomplish things together. So I fell in love with all of that. And then I fell in love with the business side, right? So I was like, I loved this part and I loved this part. And what I also discovered was that most of our dentists in the dental community doesn't really actually understand the business side of their practices very well. That's not what they went to school for, right? So we have this expectation that they should. Why would they, right? That's not what they went to school for.
So you saw a need.
I saw a need.
And it intersected with your passion.
And my why, which has always been to grow and develop leaders and people. When I was in college, I was focused on, I was going to go into behavioral psychology. And honestly, Grace, because I was a girl, right, at that time, a young girl, you know, 18, at 19, when I started college, that was, I wanted to help women grow and develop and be better at working together instead of against each other. So here we are, fast forward 30 years, and my why has not changed, which has been amazing, right? I am still passionate and continuously pursuing how to help grow and develop people and teams to work better, to win together, to struggle together, but to do it in healthy ways.
Mm-hmm. You've coached me before, Jerry. you've coached me off a ledge a couple of times. And there's something about how you coach people that is just amazing to me, because you lead with compassion and you lead with understanding, but you're not fluffy. Like, you know when to be a sounding board and be compassionate and be understanding. And you have the discernment to also know when you need to provide a little bit of tough love in a way that the person can receive it. And I think that's just incredible for people. So today on our show, we're going to be talking about team calibration and what it means to calibrate your team. So tell me, what does it mean to be calibrated?
That's a great question. And it, sometimes it's a word we kick around, right? And if you think about like a copier or a, you know, like a printer, you know, what is one of the first things once you've set that up that you have to do? You send those calibrating papers through, right? To make sure everything is aligned, to make sure that it is printing correctly. All the colors are where they need to be, right? So think of that as a team. Like, if we need to function and function well and function at a high level, we need to be aligned. We need to be calibrated. So it means we know what we do here. We know how we do it. We talk about it, we meet about it, we speak the same language about it, right? We have the same purpose, even if we come from different ways of wanting to do something, and that's what getting around the table to calibrate and collaborate means. So it means really being aligned and on the same page towards the same goal.
I love it. And it sounds so simple, but it's not. I'm over here as a business owner like, I want that. Okay.
As a business owner, I want that. I only have one other employee at this time, and it is continuous work for she and I to be calibrated.
I'm so glad you said that, because just when you feel like you're in sync, a big part of calibration is continual calibration. It's an ongoing process. And perfection doesn't exist. So there's always room to improve. So what are your best practices for team calibration?
Yeah, great. Well, number one is that you actually are communicating, and communicating regularly, not just once in a while and not in just one way, right? So by that, I mean, it's not just verbally we communicate and get around the table and talk about things and say, oh, we're great. Yeah, we all want to do that. Okay, well, what do we know about that? That doesn't work.
So it's not an empty, like, cheer fest?
No. I mean, I wish. I'd have my pom-poms out all day, right? Like you said, I'm cheering you on and I'm super empathetic. And at the end of the day, we got to get stuff done.
Yeah.
Right? We got to do this. So it's communication, number one, on multiple levels and multiple ways. I hear often, well, I talk about it all the time. Oh, well, how's that working for you? Because what we know about verbal communication is that lives where in our brain? Short-term memory, right? So plus we're up for interpretation. You might say something to me, Grace, and I'm like, yeah, totally get it. I go and translate it onto someone else and it's not what you meant at all. Right.
So, I never experienced that in my business. Never. No.
Yeah, me either. So it's communication multiple ways. So verbal, written. Hey, if you got some illustration and photo or pictures, it's that. So it's getting around the table together regularly. And so for me, I prescribe, my prescription is team meetings. And I know everyone right now is like, team meetings.
I love team meetings.
Well, the team meeting for the sake of a team meeting, and for most of us, how we have experienced team meetings, it makes me want to, you know, roll my eyes back in my head too. But if we can agree and come together and have constructive, and that is meaning you follow an outline, we're going to have an agenda, we're going to time it, we're going to, you know, we're going to have ways that we're going to communicate together structured. It doesn't mean it's not fun.
The structure is so important. I've witnessed some team meetings before I was a business owner. I'm like trying to be gentle because I don't want to expose anybody or like, you know, if people know my history or where I worked, but that it's very easy for them to kind of fall into like a rant session negativity parade. Yeah. If you don't have that, we do this, then we do this, then we do this, then we do this at a meeting.
Yeah. And learn how to facilitate those, right? So part of even how I coach, so with all of my doctors and teams, my team leaders, it's not all on the doctor, by the way, either. I want to train up the team, right, to be leaders. And so I also realize I've got to help them. I can't just say, here's an outline of how you should have a team meeting. I actually have to model it for them and then train them how to facilitate, because that's actually the hard part of running a meeting is facilitating it. Mm-hmm. Right, facilitating and keeping it moving and staying on track and not letting it become a rant fest or, you know, rabbit holes that we're like, oh yeah, remember when Susie Q, A, B, C, and D? I'm like, seriously, no.
I'm getting much better at reining it in. And my, if you, there's a leader out there listening and they have ADD like me and they kind of go off on these tangents, it can be your team will actually learn that all they have to do is like drop a couple like breadcrumbs this way and meeting over, like they'll completely divert and send you in circles. So even just being aware of that.
Yes. Right. And knowing that, And a lot of people have a hard time speaking out. So just trying to give them tools to have really productive team meetings. So that's one way we're communicating well. Communication should be face-to-face as much as possible. Morning huddles, even. You know, your 10, 15-minute morning huddle, a daily reminder. What are we doing here? How are we doing it? What's the goal here? How are we going to be more productive today, more efficient today? Written protocols. People want to call them whatever you want to call them. I think, I don't know if this was one of our chats, Grace, or one of the chats on our groups that we're in together about using the word policy and system or policy. Some people want to call it protocol, standard operating procedures. I don't care what you call it. I actually don't have a dog in that fight about it. We all have to have protocols and systems. And when you have those, right, life is more predictable. And what I know about our dentist, what you know, Grace, is, and even for us as business owners, you and I, is as much as we're good with like, okay, let's have fun with the flow, we want some predictability also. Right? And written protocols and things give you that predictability. It helps you to pivot better when things do go awry. If you actually already know, that all of you know, what your policies and systems or your best practices are in every single day in your practice and for all the procedures that you do. So policies and systems. Treatment summits or treatment planning calibration meetings. This is a big one. You know, we hire people from within dentistry. We, if we're smart, we also hire people outside of dentistry to bring new perspectives, because in a lot of service-oriented industries are great team members for dental practices. They don't know what we do. I work with 10 clients right now, because as you know, part of my core values is I never work with more clients than I can carry in my hands.
Yeah, me too.
And
well, not in my hands, but in my team's hands.
In my team, yeah. Between between Kim and I, too. Now I have a team. You know, Kim, the more than we can carry right here and actually serve and be side by side with. But I go into these practices, and every practice is so different. I don't know what your, I don't know how you do your fillings. I don't know how you crown prep. I don't know if you use a CEREC or you don't. I don't even know what a CEREC does. Right? If I And I'm in this industry 30 years, right? So think about the people that we hire into our practices, or for you and I, into our business. Do they know what we do. When I send a treatment plan up to somebody that says, you know, we're going to do 3 implants, a bone graft, and a sinus lift, and does Susie know what that is and why?
Yeah.
So when she's presenting that and the patient asks those questions, she's like, oh, yes. And she's speaking the same language that your assistant spoke, your hygienist spoke, that you spoke, right?
So right now, a lot of people have new team members and, yeah, and we're starting to recruit from outside of dentistry because we have to. We have to bring more people in, train them up. And this is so very important for right now.
It's huge. And it's interesting. So my tough love has come in and I've been strong arming some of my docs to, I'm like, no, because they're like, you know, we can't really have our regular team meetings all the time right now because we got to get all these people in that we're not in during COVID, you know, during the shutdown. And I'm saying, well, how's it going? Like, because we're all busier. I get that. Everybody's doing really well.
For now.
And we've hired five new team members. And I'm like, yeah, do they know what you do there? Well, you know, so I'm like, I'm making them have these meetings. It's been so fun because it's not just the doctor saying, this is how we do things. I enroll the whole team. Again, I'm about the whole team developing, right? So I'm like, one of your calibration meetings is going to be the hygienists are going to lead it. They're going to talk about probing depths. I don't know, whatever. Yeah, I'm just making stuff up here.
Yeah.
the next meeting, I had one of my teams that had a calibration meeting last week. They did it on x-rays, right? So the assistants led it and they were talking about what constitutes a good and viable radiograph. So when this is a specialty practice. So when we're asking for radiographs from the GP or anywhere else, I want you all to be able to look at that when it comes through via email or whatever and go, oh no, we're going to need to take our own.
And it's not necessarily cross training what you're talking about. It's cross education.
Yep.
I don't need to be able to do your job 100%, but I need to know what you do, why you do it.
Yes.
How it's done at a certain level so that we can work together.
Exactly. So that even, you know, this in this particular team's situation, why they were really going over radiographs was number one. So how we can look at what's coming in, not so that you can learn how to take them, but so that we know if we need to take new ones when they're coming. We're planning, we're being proactive because we all know what we're looking for. And also why it takes more time. So that's why if we see that we have Jerry coming in as a new patient, her radiographs are not going to work. We're going to need to take those. Miss scheduling coordinator or whoever is able to go, I'm going to need to add, you know, 10 minutes of time to this appointment. So I'm going to make an adjustment here. I'm going to call Jerry. I'm going to let my team know, don't worry. I've already added time so that we can take fresh radiographs, right? It's just getting calibrated in those ways. It may just make us more effective and productive. But again, like you said, Grace, we have new people coming in to our industry from outside who are bringing great qualities and skills that we hired them for. Now we need to train them for what we do here, or we need to at least talk to them about it.
It sounds like, just to kind of recap and overly simplify, it sounds like you're talking about systemized communication.
Yes.
Because we say the word communication all the time. And just by walking into a room, you're communicating. But how are we actually organizing that communication so that it's predictable, continually bringing us together, continually making us stronger, getting us on the same page, constant calibration? We can't just say, we need to communicate more. We actually need systemized communication, right?
Yeah. Well, and I said that yesterday too. I had a doctor who said, well, I've been talking with they have a new office manager and she says she's going to work at being better at communicating. I said, great. What's the plan of action for that to be successful? Because I can say it all day long. I plan to eat better all day too. It doesn't mean I do unless I have a systemized plan in place. And, you know, I use things like, for me and Kim and I use this all day. It's called the who will do what by when, which is from the book, Who Will Do What by When. It's an accountability tool, but it's also a communication tool, right? It's what needs to happen, who's going to be responsible for it, whether I do it myself or I you know, delegate. Get help, yeah. Delegate it. And by when is the expectation for this to be done, right? And then that lives in a place where we both see it, we're looking at it all the time. So that's where expectations and communications.
It sounds so simple, but it is, it until you make it a regular daily habit,
yes,
it slips, and new employees are going to slip in this too until yeah. you bring attention to it and shine light on it. And we have the who, what, where, when, why, how, because sometimes we delegate really big projects. Sometimes yeah. they're small systems or things. And so sometimes people come to me and say, you know, I got this task and I don't quite understand it. So what am I supposed to do? And I'll be like, well, what is the task exactly? And they're like, oh, something with a something, something. And I'm like, okay, well, who is it for? And they're like, oh, I don't know. Well, it's in the assignment. Like, it's all written out there. And, yeah. and, so then we kind of go to like, well, you didn't actually like read it or like, like yeah. it's there. So some of this, is going to be getting your team to a place where they have great communication habits.
Well, yes, great communication habits. And are we inspiring and building that team up enough to feel innovative, right? So that they can actually like go, oh, this needs to happen. Well, even if I don't have, if we have to spell out the how all the time, I guess I might as well just do it myself. And who wants to do that? But I want to give them the tools that they need. So what tools do you need to get this, be able to do this? But I also want them to be able to be innovative and figure out, this is what needs to happen. This is the outcome we're looking for. You tell me how yeah. we should get that done.
And it depends. So for us, we have to have a how for every single thing we do, because one minor change yeah. and everything kind of topples in marketing. Yeah. Like, for instance, if someone is supposed to like optimize a Google listing, if they skip one step in the how.
Oh, well, no, like there's that. Yeah, yeah. That makes yeah, yeah. total sense, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That comes back to protocol.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Yes.
But not necessarily how we're getting tasks done or how we're helping to communicate. Right?
Yes.
For sure. Yes.
Okay. Sometimes people think by having protocol in place, you're micromanaging. And people throw around that word micromanaging quite a bit to try mm-hmm. to get the leaders to stop in their tracks. Have you seen this?
Yes. And Patrick Lencioni, who you know is one of my guys, you know, I just started a year-long program with him to be certified by him to do his work. Because I don't have enough to do, I'm like, sure, I'll take this 9-month program. He says people like to throw out the word micromanage when they don't want to be held accountable.
Yes. Yes. Right?
So he said, so if by micromanage, you mean you're held accountable, you got the who, what, when's, you've got the protocols in place. If you mean micromanage by that, you know, Patrick Lencioni said, this was at his conference, he's like, well, hell yeah, then I mean, I'm going to micromanage. He goes, but that's not what, you know, let's look it up.
Sounds just like me. I say that all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, what does micromanaging actually mean? Let's look it up in the dictionary, right? And what does being accountable, helping people stay on top so that they actually do better and feel better about the work that they do, that is not micromanaging. But what you want to call it, great.
If you don't have a system in place,
yeah,
then those same people will come to you and tell you that they haven't received training.
Correct.
So really recognizing how people sometimes use buzzwords to stop you from progressing. And I couldn't agree with that more, that sometimes people just don't want to be held accountable. Those are tough conversations, because sometimes you have to recognize when people on your team or a person on your team doesn't possess the same core values.
Thank you. Yes, I think usually that's what that pushback is. And or we're uncomfortable, right?
Right.
Each time you introduce something new to someone, even a Jerry who is like, let's try new stuff all the time, or a Grace, right? Sometimes my initial reaction internally is, no, I don't want to. That's going to be hard. I don't want to. Why can't I just do it the way I'm doing it? Right?
Yeah.
We're just better at overcoming that. But for some people, it truly is this pushback.
Yes.
And it either is, they just need to be helped and understand that this is, they're going to be able to do it and they're going to be so glad that they did. But that the other part of that grace is exactly that. Maybe now we start to see that this person or these people aren't aligned with our core values and the vision that we have for our business.
We think that turnover costs so much, but keeping the wrong fit person on your team will cost so much more.
And we 100%, it costs way more.
And as a leader, you know, we've got to get comfortable with the uncomfortable conversations in a lot of ways. And I'm sure that this is something you help your teams facilitate, you help your leaders facilitate.
All the time.
So with this calibration process, where do you see this shine the most?
What do you mean?
Where do you see, you know, these best practices for team calibration, where do you see it having like the biggest impact?
My practices, so all of my practices that I work with, and when I look at practices that are successful, right? And I don't even necessarily like to use that word because we all are successful at some level. When I see a team performing, and I'm looking now at the metrics and the data, right? So it's one thing to have these conversations, and these are what some people would call soft skills. I measure it against the data. What are the key performance metrics of a practice? And what are they telling us? Well, when I see a team that's really calibrated, that works really hard together, that can have collaborative tension, you know, and get moving things in the direction we want to go, that are communicating regularly, busting through team meetings, understanding the work that they do together, I see the key performance metrics be where they should be, or where we want them to be, right? So all of my teams get a nickname, and I have like a team that's called my top 10. And they don't want to be the top 10. They said, we want to be the top. And I said, well, then guess what? I guess you got some work to do. But the reason they are the top 10, Grace, is because in almost every way, shape, and form, from how I coach to how we measure the health of the business side of a practice and how we measure the behavioral side of the practice, they would be considered the top 10% of the nation.
Wow.
Well, their KPIs. Well, why is that? Well, over the course of the last year and a half, especially, it's because they are 100% bought in to calibrate. It's a two-doctor practice, bought into
process,
team meetings, the process, leadership, developing their team, giving them autonomy, but also within protocols and systems in place that are, you know, predictable. They get around the table every week. They're talking about the metrics, but they're also looking at how, when they started communicating better and they started getting more calibrated, what do you know? Those numbers started to change also.
You know, Jerry, you are like the business personal trainer for dentists, because this is why. As a coach, you're not just coming in and doing these things.
No.
You're actually graduating them to the point where they can lead their teams. And the only reason I know this is because I know you personally and I've seen it, where you work with someone for a while, and then at a certain point, they don't need you at the same level anymore. You actually get them to a point of self-sufficiency as a team.
Yes. I jokingly tell my clients, I have the worst business plan because I'm actually don't want you to need me forever. Now, do you want to work with me? Do I want you to want to work with me more? Right? We want to retain our clients, right, Grace? To go to the next level, or what does that next level look like? Of course. But I will say, one of my clients actually posted this on my Facebook page, and it says it best, and is speaking from just even a biblical standpoint. But he said this. Number one, I never even imagined that this was the coaching that I needed, which I love. He's like,
I know exactly where you're going.
And he said, Jerry does not only, she doesn't just give us the fish.
I knew exactly
where
you're going.
Right? She teaches us how to fish.
Yes.
So she does. And now I realize, though, as a coach, especially initially, sometimes I have to feed you, right? Yeah. We gotta feed people, especially if they get the hungries or the hangries. You gotta feed them a little bit before they can actually then learn to fish on their own.
Yes. I love that analogy. I think it's perfect. And I think it's a huge, I think it's just, it speaks volumes for your process in how much you help leaders and teams with their own personal development to get to the point where they're out there fishing and maybe next they're going to want to learn how to like game fish or something. Like there's always the next level.
Yes.
But I love that about you. I just want to say, so what are some indicators? Someone out there is going, I don't know if I need this. I think we're pretty good right now. What are some signs that a team needs calibration?
Are you being constantly disrupted or interrupted in a day with lots of questions from your team about things that you think, why don't they should know already? Or I thought we covered this already, right?
Oh, that one, that's going to hit home with a lot of people.
Right? Because it happens. We see it. We've seen it. I see it when I watch a practice, when I'm observing for the first time, I'm like, well, they come to you all day long.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Right? So that's one. If your metrics are not where they need to be, I know sometimes we want to think that it's, well, we need more new patients or we needed more this, more that. Well, you might need all of those things, but why are they not there? Right? Could it be, you know, I see it relating to all of these calibration pieces.
I do want to comment on that really quick, just because you brought up new patients and I can't keep my mouth shut when people, okay. You know, I see this too. When I do a marketing planning session, sometimes I see people wanting to go to, like, there's one practicing doctor that wants to see 60 new patients a month. It's a red flag for me because it's telling me, you know, you've been in business for 10 years, you want 60 new patients a month. For me, it's not like, ooh, cha-ching, like that's going to be an expensive marketing program. It's actually a concern to me because I'm going, where's the retention and what's happening?
That's why I love you, Grace. This is at my kiss your face right now.
So we want the marketing to support your organic growth and to, you know, supplement the growth that you have, to be the backbone of your education when you educate the community.
Yes.
Marketing plays an important role. The marketing is not, unless you're a startup, the marketing is not supposed to be your life raft. The marketing is supposed to be a fun, let's turn it up.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that you even say that. So I'm speaking to a study club in a few weeks. And one of the things in that particular study club is run by a specialist.
Excuse me. And
yeah, absolutely. You okay?
Good.
he said, I want you to talk about, you know, my doctors want to know, you know, like how to have better, more new patients and more quality new patients. And I said, well, I actually don't talk on that. And he's like, what? You know, do you not coach on that? I said, yes and no. And here's why. And it's exactly what you said, Grace. I said, because I can tell you right now, I can walk into every single one of those practices and I can look at a few key metrics of data and tell you that it's not about the number of new patients that you're getting in. It's about the number that you are not recapturing and retaining.
Yeah. And it depends.
And the quality too. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Who are you marketing to? Who do you want?
Yeah. Right?
And you know
when to bring in marketing, because you and I work together on this a lot. You know when to bring in marketing. When you're looking to expand, when you're looking to bring in an associate and you want to up your numbers, when you have availability in the schedule. But it again, it shouldn't be your life raft, you know. So I love all of this, Sherry. And I know that the way you work is very hands-on.
True.
The way you work is very, I'm going to hold your hand and I'm going to see you through and I'm going to be there for you. And I know you're very much there for your clients, especially yeah. through this crisis. I don't know how you've done it, but it's amazing. I know right now you've got a lot of demands on you, but by the time this airs, you may have yeah. some availability. You may have some people yeah. out there fishing, you know?
Yeah.
If someone's interested in working with you, how can they get in touch to learn, you know, if it's a fit?
Great. A couple of different ways. One is through my beautiful website designed by yours truly, Grace and her team. And that is ggpracticecoaching.com. GG stands for Jerry Gottlieb. And so you can
get growing
and get growing. Yes. Our phrase get growing, is so you can definitely schedule a call with me. I am happy to get on a call with anybody. This is complimentary call. Let's just talk about whether or not this is what you're looking for. And if we are a fit, right. And if we're not, maybe you need something else. Well, you and I both have wonderful relationships with many other coaches and consultants that might be a better fit, but let's have a call. Mm-hmm. You can find me on Facebook, also, you know, GG Practice Coaching, Instagram, and reach out. And you can get on my calendar link, you'll get my Calendly link, and you can just schedule a call with me, a complimentary call. We can talk. What more do you want to know? What are your needs? What did you hear that piqued your interest?
Absolutely. I love it. Thank you so much, Jerry. I think this is going to help a lot of people to really assess where they're at, where they want to be, and to make a change in the systems that surround their team communication. So thank you. Yeah, and for those of you, thanks. For those of you watching or listening, join our Facebook group, Dentistry's Growing with Grace, for more great information. Hear our podcast, again, Dentistry's Growing with Grace. Thank you so much for being a part of our group, our membership, and if you need any help with marketing strategy, I'm always here for you at identitydental.com. I hope you guys have a great day. Thank you.